Hi, and welcome back to Real Estate Keeping It Simple. I'm your host, Ray Dove, with RE/MAX Eastside Brokers, Inc. here in Bellevue, Washington. Hey, I thought I would just do a quick little brief podcast today and talk about the buyer-broker services agreement. There's a lot of chatter, talking points on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter about what this means to buyers and sellers, and there's certain positions on that the buying public at large seems to think that this is something that will take away from real estate agents and their ability to offer their services to potential home buyers and sellers. For me, I actually think it's a great benefit to actually have this talking point. Because for years, it was just that whenever a seller wanted to put their home on the market, in order for someone to effectively put on the market, we'd have to sign what's called a listing agreement, a contract with the seller that said, hey, we're going to put your home on the market for this period of time. This is the price that you would like to get for the property based upon the information that I gave you as a prospective seller's agent. And this is the brokerage fee that our firm or I personally would charge for my services, and the seller and me, the prospective seller's agent, would discuss what that brokerage fee would be. And then during that discussion, we would talk about how much of that total brokerage fee that we want to offer to a buyer broker agent for selling this seller's home. Now, the seller at any point could say, well, I don't really want to pay X amount of dollars, and we'd have a discussion and chat about what might be the best avenue to get the most exposure for the home. Nowhere in our MLS, as long as I've been here, the Northwest MLS, has the MLS dictated what we as real estate agents charge for a brokerage fee, nor have they dictated to the real estate companies what they must charge, nor has the National Association of Realtors or the Washington Association of Realtors come out and said, you have to be a member, you have to charge X amount of dollars in fees. That's left to the real estate companies and to the real estate agents. So for many years, the buyers have assumed that the seller will always pay the brokerage fee when they buy the home. So now what we have is that it's more, I guess transparent would be a good word, than just more transparency in the brokerage fee conversation. We already have it with the seller. We're not going to market a seller's property unless we have a contract that would guarantee us compensation for the work that we put in, provided that we sell the home during the contract term. At the end of that term, the seller has no obligation on which to pay us if the home sells or they list it with another competing real estate agent firm. They have no obligation to us because we didn't fulfill the contract terms. So now we've got, under the buyer broker services agreement in the state of Washington, we are now mandated to have that same type of conversation with a potential home buyer. And that conversation has to happen within a reasonable amount of time where we as real estate agents start offering broker services to buyers. And the discussion has to be about the term that the contract will be, if it'll be an exclusive relationship or a non-exclusive relationship, and how the buyer broker is going to get compensated in the event that the seller does not want to compensate a buyer broker. So, and if they don't, then how's the buyer broker going to get paid? I personally think this is a great avenue to have these full and complete conversations with buyers. For me, I have a certain fee level that I expect. And so I'm going to have that conversation with you, a home buyer. And we'll agree whether it's exclusive or non-exclusive. We'll agree at what rate it might be. And it might be the same rate that the seller is willing to pay. And the seller is willing to pay the buyer broker, then the buyer broker doesn't have to pay a fee. The seller may say, look, I'll pay this much, and the buyer has to decide that they'll make up the difference. So it's a complete conversation. Now, as a buyer, you may or may not have the funds to pay a buyer broker, but it doesn't preclude you as a buyer to ask the seller as part of your offer that, hey, we are willing to buy your home and we'll want to pay this price if you'd agree to that price. And that price may not be at their listed price, but we wanted to include you, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, to pay the buyer broker fee that we've obligated ourselves to the buyer broker. Then the seller could say, yes, I'll do that. Or, no, I won't. I'll pay this much, though, and you could pick up the difference. And I think that's a healthy conversation between everyone. I've heard in some of the comments that I've followed that people generally think that the brokerage fee business model is too old-fashioned, there's too many agents making too much money. And I could just share with you, like in RMLS, the average number of homes a real estate agent sells in a normal real estate market where we have 4 to 6 months worth of inventory is about 0.29 homes per month, which is about 4 homes per year. With the fact that we have such a lack of inventory, we are 4 months less than we normally have in inventory. I would say that the average agent might do 2 transactions a year. And so they've got expenses after they get paid to their broker, to themselves, and so there's not much left over. So yes, there are a few agents out there that represent a lot of buyers, they represent a lot of sellers, and they do well for themselves. But they also put in the time, energy, and effort. So on both the seller, when they hire an agent, they're hiring an agent based upon their experience and expertise. And as a buyer, you should hire a real estate agent, if you choose to do so, that has the experience and expertise to help you get to your objective, which is finding and buying a home. Now, there are plenty of ways in which to get compensated, either as a seller's agent, how you want to compensate me, and as a buyer's agent, how do you want to compensate the buyer's agent? It could be a flat fee. You can have that discussion with the seller and or buyer. Is it going to be a brokerage fee? And what does that brokerage fee look like? Is it going to be an hourly rate fee with a retainer fee up front that will be applied to the final purchase price? There are companies out there, there have always been companies out there that will help you buy or sell a property at less fees than a competitor. It's always been the marketplace. You come talk to me, and I share with you how I like to be compensated. And if that isn't agreeable to you, you've always had the ability to go seek advice, talk to one of my competitors, and decide to do business with them because it's less money out of the seller's pocket. Well, the buyer's agent, you have the same ability. And the buyer broker services agreement, if you don't feel comfortable with the agent that you're talking with, or you don't feel like you'd work well together, you're not mandated to sign a buyer broker agreement with them, but once you sit down and talk to a real estate agent, you feel comfortable with the relationship, you feel comfortable with them helping you find and buy a home, then you need to sit down and go through the fine points of the buyer broker services agreement and set out the conditions and the terms in which you both can work by. What areas, maybe what price points, what time frame, how much the buyer broker is going to get compensated, are you going to ask the seller to pay for that? If the seller is willing to pay that or more than what you were willing to pay them, what happens to that excess amount? So I think this is a healthy situation for all involved. So it's a shift. It's a new way of doing business. It's not like how we used to do business, for sure, but what has? I mean, 10, 15 years ago, we were just getting started with emailing people. I used to own an office many years ago where the agents in my office thought I was crazy because I put in a voicemail system, and they told me that nobody would ever leave a voicemail. Now, nobody even answers their phone hardly anymore, let alone leaves voicemail, because they text one another. So such a big difference. So it's the same thing here in this new business model that we have in buying or selling residential real estate. That's land, that's condos, that's homes. So we need to, we're going to have to adapt to it as an agent and as a buyer and a seller. The seller certainly has the ability, more so now than ever before, to say, hey, I'll pay you this fee, but I don't want to pay the buyer broker any fee. But you're going to, like I discussed in one of my previous podcasts, I had a seller last 6 months ago, said, look, this is what my fee is. This is what I'm going to do for my fee. Does this sound reasonable? Does that sound acceptable to you? And they agreed. So, okay, how much do you want to pay a buyer broker? You could pay them zero, or you could pay them 20%. What would you like to do? They said, well, we want to be competitive in the marketplace. What are we seeing in the marketplace? So I pulled up all the listings within their immediate market area, and we looked at what was being shown as a buyer broker fee. We see some higher, we see some lower, but the bulk of them were at this one set fee. They said, well, I want to be competitive with those other sellers. If those sellers are willing to pay that much, then I want to pay that much too, so that I can encourage someone to look at my home and possibly buy my home. And that's the same in all market dynamics. I could go to Discount Tires and pay X amount of dollars for a tire, or I can go to Goodyear and get a similar tire that might cost more money. It might have different bells and whistles associated with it, but as a consumer, then I get to pick and choose where I want to be at in the marketplace as a consumer, as a seller. And that's all I think is transpiring with this buyer broker services agreement. I know some people that I've met, it's a difficult process for them to understand, and they have had the luxury as a buyer to never enter into a buyer broker contract in the past, so they're reluctant to do so now. But this is going to be the standard course of business going forward. If you have any questions, you really want to go through the buyer broker services agreement with me and discuss the pros and cons without making any commitment to me. I'm not asking anyone that calls me. If you're working with another real estate agent, great. I would encourage you to continue that relationship, because I'm all about starting, building, and creating long-term lasting relationships. So, but if you just want some additional input, I'm happy to offer it. I'm not going to try to convince you to quit working with whomever you're working with. I want you to feel comfortable with who you're working with. And if you aren't, then certainly I would love to be an option for you. And same thing if you are a seller and you want additional input about what the market is, I'm happy to give you that information of my perception, my opinion of the market. But if either one of you want me to do all the footwork up front and do the workload of somebody else you're going to do business with, then that's a totally different conversation. I'm happy to offer some free consultation to help you make the right buying and selling decision that's best for you in your circumstances. I'm going to encourage you as a buyer to embrace this new agreement, go through it, have that discussion. It's an opportunity to really be part of the process of buying a home. But you do want somebody at the end of the day that will give you all the information you need to make a good decision. You know, the title report, property inspections, looking and seeing whether situations you might need to be aware of, like homeowners associations, maybe private roads, maybe septic systems, you know, whether the property taxes have been paid, all that stuff behind the scenes. And yes, it's easy to go out and just look at homes and find a home, but it's the other stuff that goes on. It's like, have the sewers been scoped? Have the repairs been made? Were the repairs made properly? Do we have paid invoices for that? Got to ask the hard questions along the way in the buying and selling process. I hope this helps. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I just find it necessary to at least, if I can in some way, inform everyone about this new condition that's effective January 1st, 2024 in the state of Washington. And we as agents, we have to have that document signed, and we have to have it on file, and it cannot happen the day we write a purchase agreement. Because if they come in and see that we haven't gotten that agreement signed and it's not on file, we will not get paid. You know, I don't know what mechanisms they have in place for that, but no real estate brokerage firm, which I hang my hat under, which I have to have a licensed brokerage firm to link with in order for me to work with buyers and sellers, unless I become my own broker, which I am not. But this is true in all real estate companies with all real estate agents, whether you're working for Windermere, Redfin, John L. Scott, Century 21, REMAX. That's a brokerage firm, and we're under contract underneath that brokerage firm, and so they're liable for the actions of their agents. So they're not going to pay us if they see that we don't have that documentation in file, because they don't want to get fined or assessed or punished from the licensing department if they haven't done what's been asked of them. So this isn't a law from our MLS. This is an actual state law in the state of Washington. Again, it's Ray Dove, Real Estate Keeping It Simple. You can reach me at 425-681-8630. You're also welcome to email me at raydoveremax, or raydoveremax at gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and hopefully your next real estate transaction will be successful, and you'll have your home sold in the next several months, and or you'll be moving into your new home in the next several months. Wish you all the best. Again, thanks for listening.